The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
All right, welcome back. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. We're going to talk about the GAA's annual report in a couple of moments' time with the Offaly football manager, John Mahon, and Off the Ball's Will O'Callaghan, who was at the briefing yesterday. But just, there's a lot of live sport going on at the moment. Manchester United have just beaten Real Sociedad 4-0, a convincing victory for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side. Goals from Bruno Fernandes, two for him in the first half, Marcus Rashford and Daniel James. So United well on their way to a place in the last 16 ahead of the second leg, as are Tottenham. They were 4-1 winners at Wolfsburg. The goals came from Heung-min Son, Gareth Bale, Lucas Moura and Vinicius. While Leicester, they got a bit more work to do in the second leg. Scoreless away at Slavia Prague for them. Lots more games just getting underway, including Benfica against Arsenal. That one remains scoreless after 3 minutes, as does the game between Royal Antwerp and Rangers. We'll keep an eye on them on the football show, which is coming up after 9 o'clock. Louise Quinn will join us on the football show. We'll be looking ahead to the Merseyside Derby as well. In the golf, by the way, it is the Genesis Invitational at Riviera in LA. Matt Fitzpatrick, the English golfer, is in the lead on his own and 5 under par with 2 to play in the first round. He's a shot ahead of Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay. The world number one, Dustin Johnson, 2 shots back. Rory McIlroy just underway. Patrick Harrington, who was on the show last night, is about to get underway in the next hour or so. He has thankfully made his recovery from COVID and is part of the field there. So we'll keep an eye on that over the course of the evening. But we do want to get to the GAA's annual report, which was out yesterday, to chat about it and some of the various outcomes and what the future for the GAA is over 2021. I'm joined on the line by the Offaly football manager, John Mahon. Good evening, John.
Nathan, how are you doing?
I'm very well. And Will O'Callaghan from OTB Sports as well was there on the briefing yesterday. And I guess there's three different topics we need to cover within this. One are the GAA's finances. One is the return to play for the GAA at all levels over the coming weeks and months. And then finally, what it will look like from an inter-county point of view when we do get sport back over the next little while. Will, to start with you then, I gather this was a pretty long briefing yesterday. From a financials point of view, Tom Ryan, the Director General, said it was very grim. And how could it not have been? Revenue dropped from 73 million down to 31 million, a 57% decline. And of the revenue that was taken in, government funding accounted for almost 60% of that. So nothing, I guess, unexpected, but just again reinforcing to everybody how dire a situation the governing bodies are in.
Yeah, absolutely, Nathan. You've hit the headline figures there. And it has to be pointed out, too, that that was a snapshot in time when the accounts were completed on Halloween of 2020. It doesn't include maybe some of the costs that would have been incurred while the Intercounty Championship was being run behind closed doors in November and December of last year. But also, it doesn't take into account some of the government funding that was secured in Level 5. So some of the money that was agreed in December of last year will, of course, be brought forward to the accounts for the coming year. So we only have a picture up until effectively when Intercounty came back and games started to be played again last year. But the huge impact here, and really probably the revelation on the back of what was a record year with the revenues of nearly 74 million back in 2019, is this is a record loss right on the back of it. And that it's really clear, Nathan, that 5 to 6 games in a relatively full Croke Park each year is what keeps the association going financially. Because you look at how much Croke Park ran in terms of their deficit at 15.6 million for Central Council, 10.2 million for Croke Park, because effectively, their commercial revenue was ripped apart, and it's only a small slice when you consider broadcasting coming in at around 19 million euro that really the gate receipts are the lion's share of the revenue that come into the GAA season. And, you know, to have that fall by about 30 million euro has left a huge hole in the finances of the association, which Tom Ryan said they're going to feel for many years to come, because realistically, the money that came in terms of gate receipts last year were because 5 rounds of the National Football and Hurling League were completed before the pandemic. So at least that brought some revenue in. While there's a strong possibility, with the way things are looking currently, that the intercounty season could return with no supporters in attendance or a very small amount of supporters between now and the All-Ireland Finals.
This time last year, just as the pandemic was starting, when intercounty sport and all sport was coming to an end, we thought that, well, if and when a championship happened, the fans would be back in. It didn't really happen. And because of the slow vaccine rollout, we don't really know. So, as you say,
They're heading for a pretty dire scenario in 2021 financially as well. In terms of how they survive through that, did they give any indication of where cutbacks would come, of what the GAA could do?
Well, cutbacks may well affect John and county managers around the country, more so than the association itself. It's been strongly recommended and was spoken about in the report and also at his presentation by Jeremy Ryan, their director of finance, that they're strongly indicating that they want county panels to be cut back to 32 players and also for only 3 inter-county training sessions to take place each week. They pointed out that one of the good parts in terms of money being saved was that because the season was that bit shorter and because panels were more condensed than they were in previous seasons, they felt that that was a significant saving for county boards in terms of the team preparation costs. But I think the reality is that they know the model is based so much around income coming in around games. Like, I asked Jeremy Ryan how many people would need to come into Croke Park on the current models of ticketing in order for a game to be profitable. And he was saying around about 10,000 people. And like, even at the best of times last summer, when they were in negotiations about limited supporters coming back in, at most they were talking about 28,000 people being spaced around Croke Park. And Tom Ryan was fairly clear in a downbeat way, where he was saying that realistically, if crowds come back, it's going to be a lot closer to the club championships last year, Nathan, where a few hundred people were spread across county grounds, as opposed to considering anything near 80,000 being back in for an All-Ireland final. So even well beyond this summer and for the local club championships, we are probably looking at restricted attendances realistically.
Yeah, John, it does seem as though we're still a long way from normality and a packed house at Croke Park. When we're talking about cutbacks, isn't everybody's going to have some form of cutback? I can't imagine there'd be a huge amount of sympathy for any cutbacks that are enforced upon inter-county managers. If you have to have a 32-man panel, if you're reduced to 3 inter-county training sessions a week, is that something that'd be acceptable?
Well, Nathan, and Will is just after outlining the staggering volumes of the money that that the GAA is, the cash cow that it is. It gives some kind of an indication of the kind of revenue that can be generated by playing our national games. I'm not quite sure what kind of reserves Croke Park have. I don't know, is that known? And maybe Will might have some comment on that. It'd be interesting to know if there are reserves there. But look, I wouldn't have great difficulty in a level playing field having 3 training sessions. That's what we do anyway in Offaly for the last couple of years, is 3 training sessions. Guys might meet up on their own to do maybe some S&C work, but more often than not, it's 3 field sessions a week. I wouldn't have any great difficulty with that. 32-man panel, again, no issue with that whatsoever. I mean, there's an awful lot of money being spent and maybe being wasted by certain some counties. I had a conversation last night with a GA person, and he gave me an indication of the type of expenditure in a county that I'm very, very familiar with, and it's not Offaly. But I was absolutely blown away with the amount of money that's been spent with a variety of roles, and whether it's GPS tracking systems or whether it's games analysis or video analysis, whatever, there's a huge amount of money. And yeah, I can understand why there would be a tightening of the belt, so to speak. And if everybody's playing off the same level playing field, I wouldn't have any great issue with it, quite honest with you, Nathan.
Well, in terms of the reserves that are there for the GAA, well, firstly, a reserve that they've been able to tap into is the government funding side of this. I touched on that over 60% of all revenue came from government funding. I assume if the inter-county game is to come back, they'd be looking for something similar in 2021?
They're already in conversations with the government. They revealed yesterday, Nathan, effectively they reckon it's going to take somewhere between 19 and 20 million euro is the estimate to run what will be a 5-month inter-county season. And they say they'd be unable to do that without government funding coming in. They stressed the importance of that money coming from the government through Sport Ireland last year. It was the only way that they were able to keep the show on the road for the winter of last year, with the intercounty in particular. In terms of reserves, Colin Keyes asked this of Jeremy Ryan and also Peter McKenna after their presentation the other morning. And basically what they said was, up until now, they've been reinvesting around 84% of the money that comes into the GAA ends up being redistributed back out between their provincial councils, counties, and other projects. Effectively, they probably should have been putting some of that money away, and they are considering in the future now that maybe they might put a few percent away of each year, because it is remarkable to think you come off the back of such a bumper year as the 74 million of 2019, and we were having conversations about how much money the GAA really needs, to now having to take potentially, you know, back-to-back losses of 30 million plus a year, and, you know, certain projects having to be pushed back. Like Croke Park's, the idea of the 70 million revamp of Croke Park and the Cusick Park stand, you know, very much on hold until after this pandemic. They say that the 15 million or so for Casement Park is still available, but the funding model isn't necessarily agreed around that. I think it gets to a point where some of these capital projects are going to have to be kicked down the road if the GAA doesn't have a certainty of income coming in, Nathan.
Yeah, which again is, I guess, the tightening of the belt that everybody and every business is having to do right now. Just to wrap up on the funding side of it, they weren't helped yesterday, Will, by the fact that the figures that were released, there were a few inaccuracies in them, particularly around the coaching and development funding. John Conlon, the former Westmeath footballer who's been on the show, has been quite vocal around development funding and how much of it is going to Dublin. Had a look through the figures quite quickly and realised that everything didn't add up. Can you explain exactly what happened?
Yeah, look, John Connellan is a barrister as well as being a former Westmeath footballer. So he's got a real eye for detail. And it was, I think, about 134 pages into the 200 report was the funding model in terms of the money that was redistributed back out to county boards and also to provincial bodies in the year of 2020. And John noticed that the headline figures which were written inside the report didn't tally with the tables which were inside it. And particularly, you know, some of the bigger counties, their numbers were a lot lower than it seemed. Now, John has been arguing for quite some time that Dublin have been overfunded. And again, he's been doing some of his own research this evening and looking at the nearly one third of funding between 2007 and 2020 making its way to Dublin for, you know, games development funding and coaching and so on. So he's been like a dog with a bone with this, but he did spot an inaccuracy, which was effectively the table which was produced had some figures from 2019 still in it, because the GAA say that they copied a template when they were creating it. So therefore, what was in the initial report was inaccurate, and they have now updated that effectively to be ready for Congress. But one of the kind of headline figures is that GAA is Dublin GAA's money which came in for games development was a lot lower on the original document than before, but they say that's because the tabs were copied across from the year before, not for any other reason.
Yeah, he pointed out that if you look at the funding overall over the last sort of decade and a half from 2007 to 2020, that if you go by the 2016 census figures, that €14.87 per head of population compared to €9.03 for the rest of Ireland, so €14, nearly €15 for Dublin, €9 for the rest of Ireland, so 65% higher per head. To put it in context again, Dublin received 745,000 out of the 3.7 million assigned to it last year. In comparison, Mayo, the team that beat in the All-Ireland final, got 57,000. John, on that, on the development funding, like, you're there on the ground. Is this something that is frustrating the life out of people outside of Dublin?
Well, look, I mean, now that John Cullen has brought it into the line, into the public domain, we're all discussing it, and certainly there does appear to be several anomalies. And it does make a difference, because the reality is it's all about development and coaching. And I know it's an issue that the chairman and Offaly County Board is very, very conscious of improving. And we've talked about it, the chairman, Michael Dyke, and myself, about it, and the type of funding that is required for GDOs, game development officers on the ground. Because the reality is, we don't have the teachers that we all had 30, 40 years ago when you were in national school that brought you out at lunchtime at the end of school. They're gone. They're no longer involved. And there's all sorts of issues around maybe young kids even getting access to games and fun, the type of excitement we all had playing Gaelic football. So that has to be addressed by the introduction of game development officers. And I think there's only a couple on the ground in Offaly where there's, I don't know what the number is in Dublin, but yeah, it's something that has to be just looked at, because otherwise the type of competition that we have at the moment, if we look at the Leinster Championship, we all know, and the figures and stats are there. I mean, is it competitive? Should it be looked at and scrapped? Yes, it should, unless we can balance the playing fields in some way and by improving standards in the Offaly's and the Leashes and the Westmeath, etc. And that can only happen with good intervention down at a young age. And it might take maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 years for to see that bubble to the surface and see the fruition of that kind of investment. But yes, there is an imbalance and it has to be looked at.
Yeah, and listen, Dublin has been a huge success. Everything we've seen on the field at all levels has proven that. Now is the chance to give everybody else the similar opportunity. On the return to play then, I want to play a clip of Mike Quirk, the Laois football manager. He was on OTB AM this morning and he was discussing the GAA losing their elite status exemption recently.
That took us all by surprise. Nobody was expecting that announcement when it came, that we hadn't been that we had our level five or elite status had been revoked or whatever. But I suppose, look, when you look at the prevalence of the new variants of the virus, it's probably not altogether shocking that they want to keep things as quiet and as low traffic as possible. But I was just surprised that there hadn't been better communication in that sense, that, you know, there wasn't somebody from the government or from the GAA had picked up this information a little bit earlier and communicated it to us. And yeah, it would have made maybe a small difference to fellas. But either way, you know, they're like everything on, we'll be guided by NPHET and by the government in terms of what's best for public health. And, you know, there's nobody putting pressure on anybody to get back training. Like for us, you know, obviously we're anxious to get back in the field, but, you know, I'm far more anxious that everybody's families stay safe, that, you know, we don't go back training and we're not the cause of somebody bringing this into a household and a mom or dad or granddad or grandmom or somebody getting ill because of us. So, look, whatever happens, happens. But like everybody else, it's just that natural sense of frustration that it can't be now.
Yeah, sensible words from Mike Quirk on OTBAM this morning. John, in terms of returning to training and the fact that elite status wasn't there, were you expecting that because of what had happened before Christmas, because of the exemption and the exception that was made for the GAA, that something similar would be in place this time around?
Yeah, I mean, Mike is absolutely right. We have a county manager's WhatsApp group, and that was an element of discussion that around that whole elite status that had been removed. And apparently government gave some sort of advice or instruction to Croke Park last October, and indicating that level five, we would be removed. That exemption would expire the minute the inter-county championship concluded with the All-Ireland final. So we were slightly taken aback. That information, that message was not communicated down the ground, albeit I did speak to a colleague of mine and he was aware of it. And I asked him how he became aware of it. He wasn't quite sure. But certainly most of the managers that were tic-tacking on WhatsApp were taken by surprise. Look, it's very, very hard to know. I mean, the uncertainty is what's driving us all crazy. And we're absolutely blue in the face from, I suppose, Zoom meetings and Microsoft Teams engagements with players and what have you. There's only so much of that you can do. And at the same time, we have a certain responsibility when you're a manager or you're involved with your SSC coach with an inter-county team to keep in touch with the 32 or 33, 4 or 5 players that you have. They need a bit of advice and a bit of a structure to their... We all train. Every inter-county footballer trains away. But they need advice and a structure, because up to a couple of weeks ago, well, certainly up to last week, I was training. We were training on the basis that we were coming back on the 8th of March. Now we think we're coming back after the Easter weekend. But we have no certainty around it, because I get messages every other day saying, listen, the league will be pulled. It's gone. It doesn't make... financial sense for Croke Park to run the National League program, because it'll end up costing them an absolute fortune. They'll have to intervene and pay players' expenses. And if you're reducing the capacity in the car down to a single person driving, that expense bill and food bill and medical bills involving running an inter-county campaign is quite high. And the reality is county boards are absolutely strapped for cash. They don't have it. I mean, Offaly has no money, so they can't. They're completely reliant on Croke Park, who are reliant on government. But in the bigger scheme of things, I think I don't know what our national debt at the moment has jumped by, whatever it is, billions, and obviously during this COVID lockdown. The type of money that we're spending on sport and the joy that it brings to so many, it's very, very small in comparison with the type of spending that's gone on, in some cases reckless spending that's gone on around the country. So I wouldn't become over-focused on the whole financial aspect of things. I think it's important that money is found and made available to run what are our national games and to bring a bit of joy and excitement to people's lives, not just the players who are so heavily reliant on us. And I'll just make another observation there to you, Nathan, and to Will. I mean, the fun of playing inter-county football is the crack and the bit of excitement you have traveling with your teammates, going to a match, sitting down in the restaurant or the canteen at the training centre, having a bit of fun and crack. There is no fun right now. Playing during COVID, your food was handed out the window of the canteen. You were sitting, eating it in the car, travelling on your own. You know, so many allowed in the dressing room, only so many into the showers at any given time. You were so conscious and so aware. There's not much fun in it either for inter-county players. You know, but that said, I was absolutely thrilled to bits to be able to sit back and watch games, both the ladies Gaelic football, which was marvellous last year, and obviously the hurling championship and football championship. Thank God we had it, because we needed it.
Yeah, that is for sure. The government's revised living with COVID document is due out next week, so there may well be a restoration of the exemption within that, or at least some clear sign within that as to when intercounty can return. How long do you need, John? So you're doing you're training at the moment. I presume the players are training by themselves, considering what we saw happen in down in Cork. There's a pressure on the players as well to ensure that they stick by the regulations, that they aren't congregating together. How long do you need to prepare, say, if it is the league, how long do you need together to make sure that there isn't injuries? Because that is something as well, I think, that came up yesterday, the spike in injuries because of the rushed return.
That is absolutely true, Nathan. And I did notice that in the figures yesterday that were released by Cork Park, that there was quite a spike in insurance claims because of players returning after COVID. And that might be a lot of soft tissue injuries or what have you. Ideally, you'd want about 6 weeks, because the guys are doing a lot of strength and conditioning work. They're not on the pitch working on their skills. And that's going to be an issue. And I saw some intercounty footballer refer to his own kid there last week. I can't recall who it was exactly. Just saying how far back that young boy had gone during COVID, because he wasn't allowed to play with his friends. But he brought out a football with him and had him kicking it. And he couldn't believe how far back he had regressed during the COVID. The same applies with these 20, 21, 22-year-old guys at intercounty level, some of them younger than that. They're, you know, there's no doubt about it, their biceps are getting bigger and stronger, and upper body strength and all that, is they're going to be massive, I suspect. But the reality is, you're not going to lose an intercounty game or a league match or a championship match because you're not strong enough. It's because your skills are not good enough. So ideally, Nathan, you'd want about 6 weeks. We may not get that. There's a talk that at most you get is four if we go back in April. I'm not quite sure will the league take place or not. I heard earlier on the week that it definitely would. And that's what's just driving us a little bit mad and creating uncertainty.
I'll play a clip of Tom Ryan from yesterday, then, the GEA's Director General, about what the intercounty season may look like. He admits they're considering alternative options for the schedule for 2021, but insists that their desire is still for county before club this year.
I know all the time people you know, want to know, and I understand that, you know, what's going to happen next? What does this mean? What does this mean? Sometimes you genuinely don't know, and at the moment, genuinely don't know either. Obviously, like William, as you start pushing things back a week here, a week there, a week, it's all cumulative, and it does mean that you have to look at alternatives. We have alternatives already considered. There's really no point in airing those now, because all that you know for definite about them is that most of them are going to turn out to be obsolete and defunct anyway. But just think of last year, like at short notice, we were able to decide what we were going to do. We were able to communicate it. We were able to plan it, and we were able to get it up and running. And whatever shape the thing takes this year, like we will do the same. I do think we have to be kind of realistic too. Yeah. The league, as the most imminent competition, is the one that's going to be under the most pressure. If we can do it at all, we'd love to do it. We'd love to do it with him. The thing about the club side of things, I suppose, really, that would call for a far more accommodating public health scenario, really, wouldn't it? Because you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people at that stage. Now, I do understand we've a huge responsibility to those people too. So, I mean, the reason that we were going with county first, to be honest about it, was because we really did anticipate that that was the element that was going to be most practical to implement, because it was a smaller number of people. And I still think that's probably the case. And I don't foresee that changing in the next, you know, in the next couple of weeks, next few weeks. But there probably will come a time, you know, when we'll have to consider all the options ahead of us and make a call on things. But at the moment, the plans that we announced around about Christmas time or shortly after Christmas time are still the ones, Brian, that we'd like to implement if we can.
John, I think, again, that's all fair enough from Tom Ryan in that, like, they simply don't know. The situation is changing all the time. But in terms of the intercounty season, when it does return, like, we hear all the time that the league is the best of the intercounty season. It's the most competitive. It's the fairest. It is the one where for every county there is worth. And you've mentioned the Leinster Championship is, for most people, a complete waste of time at this stage. If they were to pull the league, as manager of Offaly, like, how devastating would that be for the players? What would be the point of the season for Offaly.
Yeah, I mean, and if you were lucky enough to pick Dublin out of the drum, where are you going then? So you end up training 5 or 6 weeks, maybe for one game. But just as we're chatting there, I'm actually getting a text message there from a friend of mine. He said, John, just mention the option of the open draw. I think that would be certainly a novel approach. And I think it's something that Croke Park might be considering. That's the message I'm getting as we speak. But I think it would be not necessarily innovative, but there's a great opportunity just to tweak things. And you can always blame COVID for it if it doesn't work. But I don't see any reason why an open draw championship wouldn't be, particularly in the current climate, wouldn't be novel and exciting. Just the anticipation of the draw itself. I think that's something that Croke Park, and I do fully accept Tom Ryan, and I do appreciate exactly where they're coming from. Like, I mean, this thing is all over the place, and nobody can point a finger and blame anybody for not giving us information. But I'm just highlighting how disconcerting it is for us and how uncomfortable it is for those that's involved in the game, the not knowing, the unknown is what's driving us a bit crazy. And I completely accept where Tom Ryan was coming from. But let's take a look at an open championship. I think that would be a great idea.
But for a county like Offaly football right now, an open draw, you could be drawn against Dublin first time out. Like, should the league be made the priority for inter-county so that every team gets a fair crack of games and makes all that effort for those players worthwhile, that they know they're getting 4, 5, 6 games, even with the slightly different system that's meant to be in place for this year?
I completely agree with that. I mean, the National League program, all teams, it's very, very competitive. If you're Division Three, and it's the uncertainty of outcome is what makes a sport so exciting for everyone, for viewers and for participants. Not knowing, going to the game, you know, talking about who's picking up who and what have you, what way do you think it'll go? I mean, the reality is we're going into championship games now, and I know some teams train not to be beaten by 20 points. I mean, it's not pathetic, really. And that's the sad reality. And, like, I mean, Westmeath deserve great credit for holding Dublin, I think it was 10 points for the championship. And we end up applauding a fantastic losing performance. Sure, it's ridiculous, really. So, yes, the National League programme, the teams are playing on, the teams that are drawn against one another, irrespective of what division you're in, you're playing, there's a real competitive aspect to it, and you're playing teams the same standard. So, a championship along those lines would certainly be novel as well. But I'm wide open to, you know, having some little tweak or change, because what we have at the moment isn't very exciting.
Yeah, that is the one thing here, Will, that there is an opportunity for change, for long-lasting change. And I don't know if the desire is still there in the room in Congress for that long-lasting change, that no matter what happens this year, it may well be a one-off once again.
Yeah, look, I think that conversation will probably happen ahead of next year, Nathan, because it works out quite nicely that 2022 is the end of the current format and that it can be discussed for a change beyond next summer. They already hinted, well, actually beyond hinted, they said that effectively they're not going to debate this at the upcoming Congress, because their feeling is that a massive change to the games programme would be unfair to happen on Microsoft Teams, that really that has to be held back until, you know, in-person meetings, even at social distancing, can happen later this year. I get the feeling there's a very different temperature to last year. Like, I remember asking the top table at the GAA last summer if they would consider a Champions League-style format, and for the year that's in it, drop the provincials and play a championship that can maybe be streamlined slightly differently. And the feeling was that they wanted to keep the integrity of what went before as much as possible. I think now that we go into a second year of this, options will be considered beyond what was there before. Even if you look at the radical idea that they had back in December for the leagues, and like Division 3 of the National Football League, which John is preparing to coach in, could have been really exciting if both Cavan and Tipperary, two of the provincial finalists, were in the same division next year, fighting out for promotion in what looked like a very competitive flight. But unfortunately, they had to put it into a regional basis. And because the Northern teams are so strong, Division 1 and 2 started to take on an entirely different complexion, and even Division 3 because of the regionalised basis. And I actually think those leagues, trying to run them off on 6 weeks with 1 week left in for, you know, potentially games falling due to weather or whatever else, is pretty optimistic to try and get it played off that quickly too. And even if we take Easter currently as the date that the teams can go back training, Tom Ryan has indicated 4 weeks of preparation time, then 6 weeks. You're talking about the middle of June before any meaningful championship games would actually take place. So it's difficult to satisfy everything here, where they want a partial split season for club and county, They want to try and keep intercounty first, which seems to make sense when you look on a purely practical level. You have far fewer players involved, and as a result, the government are probably more likely to give a green light to intercounty than club, because as things stand, it has to be level two for club. It's difficult to satisfy all of these. Like, I think some kind of creative accounting will be required with the schedule to make sure that everything can happen.
John, I'm one of many people, I'm sure, who'd love access to that intercounty manager's WhatsApp group to see what you're all chatting about. I don't know if there's generally much of a consensus within it, but is there much radical talk within that of ripping it up and starting again in terms of how Championship and League and the entire season structured?
No, to be quite honest with you, there isn't. And I started off in getting involved at intercounty level 30 years ago, and it's the first time we've ever had a WhatsApp group or an intervention of this kind where we can discuss certain things. And of course, it's all about the COVID-related scenario and the uncertainty. That's what the information exchange was about. And particularly last weekend, when we discovered that our items had been removed, and we weren't quite aware of it. Now, I don't know what does that make a huge difference on a bigger, it might for grant assistance or something to be classified, not to be classified as elite professionals similar to the FAI. I think people were, some were quite a bit perturbed about that aspect of it. But no, there's nothing radical. The reality is we're in a very, very, very difficult situation, and we accept that and recognise that. And we're involved in something that we love dearly, intercounty football in my case. And I'm just passionate about it. And I just hate to see time slipping by. I mean, if you're unlucky enough to be at the end of your playing career, to lose a season or two, it's just difficult. And, you know, and another issue, I brought in four or five young guys into the squad, the Offaly panel. And I mean, if I don't have an opportunity to have a challenge game or two or three, I mean, it's going to be very, very difficult for me in 4 weeks to establish how good these lads are in that kind of a training environment. Because we'll be very, very cagey for the first week, and it'll be the second or third week, realistically, where you get any kind of real intensity or quality. And I think that, yeah, young fellas will lose out on it at the end of the day, Nathan. And that's just an issue from my perspective, just chatting about it here now.
The main talking point, Will, out of it was about Amazon Prime and the potential that they may go for the rights. Was this a nice little bit of kite flying, just to ruffle a few feathers there with Sky and RTE ahead of the new deal?
I think so. I think it was very pointedly dropped in, and Peter McKenna, you know, commercial director and also the director of Croke Park Stadium, who's been involved in, you know, previous negotiations around media rights. They brought in around 19 million euro last year. So they want to try and increase that to try and offset some of the deficit. And, you know, while praising TG Cahir and RTE and Sky Sports and Air Sport for their coverage in the previous year, he was extremely aware when he was making that comment that later this year, I think it's in the autumn, that they'll be sitting down for negotiations whenever the intercounty season finishes ahead of next year, because 2022 is the last year of the current deal, and Amazon Prime gets dropped in as one of the potential new boys coming to the table. My own personal feeling on this, Nathan, is that I think it is kite flying, because, you know, the GAA have been in a share agreement with GAA Go, where themselves and RTE have had 50% of the shares, and my understanding is that GAA Go were looking at potentially increasing the amount of streaming that they're doing, and they already, you know, provide the international audience. If you were to go to Amazon Prime isn't currently on TV sets. You are talking about streaming. So the GA will be going actively up against a company which they have a share in currently. But again, when you're going into negotiations, it's no harm saying that, you know, a massive international company who a few million quid to stream games a year would be an absolute drop in the ocean to Jeff Bezos and the boys if they were to get on the party. But yeah, I kind of wonder if there would be, you know, any great interest in Amazon in taking this on. Like, if they were to have limited GA rights, would it really result in many subscriptions to Amazon?
No, but I guess, John, that while there is undoubtedly an element of kite flying around this, it probably does underline again maybe some of the issues that are going to face the GAA over coming years, hopefully coming out of this, around that balance of the ethos of the organisation against the massive financial strain it is now under and some of the difficult decisions they may have to make to try and recoup some of that lost revenue.
Yeah, I mean, understandably, there are wise heads up there that are going to look at some sort of opportunities that might present themselves. It's a difficult time financially in the country. We're going to have a number of difficult years. Yeah, a lot of people have suffered. A lot of big businesses have suffered. We hear today that Royal Bank of Scotland or Ulster Bank might be pulling out of Ireland. So there's job losses all around the places, and it's going to be difficult. Like, I mean, even at local level, club level, like, I mean, everybody is struggling financially. I mean, lottos, et cetera, are more or less gone unless you're online. So, yeah, you're going to need some radical new approaches to the whole scenario around games rights and that kind of stuff. But I have to recognise and applaud the amount of football I was able to watch last year by games being streamed locally by local clubs and at county level. It was absolutely fantastic. And I've never watched as much sport as I did last summer. And those guys, small independent operators working locally in local grounds around the place, be it for club or county, deserve great credit. But everything has a value. And I don't know, is there a big international audience out there to generate the kind of revenue that might be wished for? I mean, I think this is a kind of a local native sport with limited maybe opportunities in North America to generate the kind of funds. And but anyway, it's an interesting topic, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with it.
John, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Jonathan.
Will O'Callaghan as well. Thanks for your time. Will O'Callaghan, John Mahon there. If you missed any of that chat about the GEA's annual report, you will get it on the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.